Good evening. It's January 12, 2009. This is the meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee. I'm the Chair Pro Tem, Bob Lederer, and let me ask our Secretary Pro Tem, Yoshi Yamanaka, to call the roll, please.
Wesley Bethune. Wesley. Carolyn Burden. Carolyn.
Here.
Did someone hear Carolyn?
Yes, I'm
yes,
here.
I heard her.
Okay, thank you. Steve Brown.
Here.
Tico Chassin. Tico. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Kathy Davis. Kathy. Anthony Fest.
Here.
Jan Goodman. Jan. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Ifia Wangaza. Ifia. Leslie Radford. Leslie. George Ryder. George. Rob Robinson. Rob. Bonnie Simmons.
Here.
Yoshi Yamanaka is here. We have seven. Eight is quorum, so we are one shy of quorum.
Okay, thanks, Yosh. Well, we just discussed before we came online that there was general agreement to try to do whatever we can, you know, short of formal action, in the hopes that the eighth person will arrive, and then we can begin actually doing formal business. So without objection, I want to move to... I want us to look at the agenda, and of course, you know, when we get the eighth person, we can always ask if they have any changes that in what we've informally agreed to. So I sent that out last night. Is there any suggested changes in the agenda? Actually, let me, for the benefit of those listening, let me read it out loud. Okay, after the approval of the agenda, it would be setting the next meeting date, reviewing and approving the meeting minutes, the last set of minutes, discussion of proposed bylaw amendments regarding the national election supervisor and the local election supervisor, that's 15 minutes, report from the four working groups, first the one on proposals for election management, 15 minutes, second the one on cutting election costs, 20 minutes, third the one on cleaning up listener membership lists. I have 5 minutes. That's really just to follow up on an earlier motion that we passed. Fourth, staff list, 20 minutes, which would include both follow-up and a new motion that I circulated to the list earlier this evening. Okay, then the next item would be proposed election rules for 20 minutes, and then a new item that that Jan Goodman added today, which is on the rule concerning staff endorsements via email, putting 15 minutes for that, and then the motion, this is carried over for several meetings now, the motion regarding campaign finance reform, 20 minutes. So are there suggested changes in that agenda?
Let's see, that election rule item, that includes the item about staff endorsements via email.
Right. Anything else or any changes? Okay, so we'll informally move under that agenda until the eighth person comes, and then we'll put it to a vote. All right, so let's start with next meeting date. Just for everyone's clarity, the way that as far as the transition to the new roster of the committee this year, my understanding of Robert's rules is that the members of the committee continue serving until their successors have been elected, and each LSB sets its own date. There's no prescribed date in which by which that must occur, but it traditionally is. Some do it in January, some do it in February, and I just heard that at KPFA they're not meeting again till March. So the committee will, you know, have changes kind of in serial order, but we can keep on functioning with the current people until then. Is there any other comment on that, just that question about transition?
Yeah, I have a question about that.
Sure.
I'm not sure if that falls under purview, but under our purview, Mrs. Carolyn, but something is wrong with that no meeting until March. That doesn't seem right to me. I don't know whether we should deal with that or refer it to governance, but that just doesn't seem right to me. Could someone from A explain that?
I believe the bylaws say at least once every...
Bonnie, you're dropping out. Your voice is dropping out.
Oh, sorry.
Can you repeat?
I believe the bylaws say once every 2 months at least, don't they?
Right, that's correct. LSBs must meet at least every other month.
And was that, why was that rule adopted, just out of curiosity?
Well, I can't really speak for everyone. I can only speak for myself.
Good enough.
I actually think that it makes sense to try it that way. I think that we, meeting ourselves to death here, and that it would make more sense if we were to re-energize our committee system, which has basically laid fallow all year or 2 years and has not been functioning very well, and that if people put energy into committees and that we actually did the prep work on a number of subjects.
Ifea Juan Gaza.
Welcome, Ifea.
Hi.
Yeah.
You win the prize.
Yeah, you've just made quorum. Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bonnie. Complete your thought.
I was just saying that, to my mind, if we were to actually be working preparatory information and making some educated decisions in committee where we can actually study a smaller subject for a longer time and then bring it to the full board for approval, that it actually will make sense and will bring better work.
Okay, well,
so that was my feeling about it.
Thanks for that. At this point, that's not on our agenda. So the agenda item right now is simply setting the date for our next meeting. So this is January 12th. Shall we meet in approximately a month or so? And does someone have a proposal for a date?
Well, I can say I'll be out of town February 12th through the 16th.
But you'll have a phone.
Well, I'll be in Arizona, so I don't know.
No phone service in Arizona.
Well, you can proceed. I can't promise.
Well, I think given that Yosh has been a very diligent secretary, I'd rather it be on a night that's convenient for him. So
I'm only pulling his leg.
Yeah. So
what was that date you suggested anyway?
Well, I didn't suggest any date, but I'm about to. So why don't we try, how is Monday, February 9th? Anyone have a problem on that night?
Mondays generally are not good for me. It's possible, but not, because I have to be up at 4:30 on Tuesday morning, so that makes a bit of a problem. Are Sunday nights out of our purview?
Yep.
Yeah, that doesn't work for me.
I know the first and third Mondays are bad for George. I don't know if he wants to be on this committee next year, but he's still on it now.
Can we try some other day of the week, like a Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday?
Sure. Why don't you throw out an idea and let's see.
I'm pretty good, I think, on just about any day of the week. I think I would prefer a Wednesday to a Tuesday, but other than that, Wednesday or Thursday is fine by me.
Wednesday the 4th? Does that work for everyone?
No, the 4th. I guess that would be good for me.
Okay, is there anyone who cannot make it on Wednesday, February 4th? Wow, amazing. Okay, then without objection, our next meeting will be Wednesday, February 4th at 8:30 Eastern. Okay, so now that we have quorum, let us formally adopt the agenda. Effia, did you get the email I sent that had a proposed agenda?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay. I just went through it, but I'll reprise it very quickly for you so that we can vote on it. After the meeting date, which we just agreed to, what follows is review and approval of minutes. That would take 5 minutes. Proposed bylaws amendments regarding the NES and the LES. That would be 15 minutes. And then reports from the four working groups. The RFP group, 15 minutes. Cutting costs, 20 minutes. Cleaning up lists, 5 minutes. Staff lists, 20 minutes. And then proposed new election rules, 20 minutes for Yosh's proposal and 15 minutes for Jan Goodman's proposal. And then motion on campaign finance reform that's been carried over for 20 minutes. So are there any changes to that proposal?
Excuse me, Bob, but will we still be getting off the phone at 10:30 Eastern?
That's our standing policy, yes. Okay, if there's no changes or objections, then that's adopted. All right, so next is the minutes, which Yosh just was gracious enough to forward to us a little bit earlier tonight. I realize people may probably not have had time to read the new minutes. Would people like to postpone this to the next meeting?
Bob, this is Yosh.
Yes, go ahead.
And I would suggest that we postpone it because I just, you know, hammered it out at the last minute. It's very rough, and I need to work on it a bit more. But I just wanted to get something out there so that people have something to look at or review, you know, either before tonight's meeting or, you know, whenever you can get around to it shortly thereafter.
Okay, well, I really appreciate your hard work on this. So, without objection, can we postpone this till the February meeting? Okay. So, folks, please take a minute, some point between now and that meeting to read through it and see if, you know, there's anything that needs to be amended. Okay, next we have the proposed bylaws amendment regarding the National Election Supervisor and the Local Election Supervisor. And I'll start this, and Yosh, I think, might be able to add, or perhaps other people know more about this. This originated back in, I guess it was the summer or the fall. There were complaints filed by former local election supervisors against Pacifica, saying, and please someone correct me if I get this wrong, saying that, that although our resolutions appeared to treat these people as salaried employees, that they weren't paid the overtime that they believed they were entitled to, and that so ultimately there were two complaints, one in New York and one in California, and I believe under California law through the employment, I don't know what
Development
the,
Department, EDD.
Thank you. Well, maybe, you know, Yosh, if you have a good knowledge of it, maybe you could tell the story.
Okay, I can fill in just a little bit more. Probably the term of art is independent contractors. We
right.
are trying to treat these LESs as well as the NES as independent contractors. But at least two of the LESs, one in Los Angeles, the other one in New York, filed for overtime, claiming that they were not independent contractors, but rather they were employees. And we did prevail in California, and we did lose in New York. I believe that was the way it went down.
Yosh, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Our corporate counsel is supposedly a specialist in labor relations and things. Who drew up? Wasn't there a contract drawn up for these people to sign that would very explicitly say what they were under the law and obviate any need to go to court about it?
You know, frankly, I'm sorry. I don't know. I would assume that there was a contract drawn up, but I'm not sure. I've never seen it. I've not heard of one. And I guess part of the problem is that the greater specificity or the tighter the rein you hold over the NEF and or the LEF, the more likely it looks that they are employees. In other words, thy shalt, report to work by 9 a.m., and you shall wear a uniform and blah, blah, you know. The more constraints that you have over their performance, the more they appear to be employees. So that could be part of the problem. But I can't shed any light whatsoever on what the contract may have been. I know we're trying to sidestep that whole problem. We've got the new RFP, which Bonnie was kind enough to, the amendment to the RFP, which Bonnie seconded, it was passed. Well, no, it was on the verge of passing, but then Foundation Council raised a concern, and so that was tabled for a few days. It was basically, the PNB passed the RFP as amended with the proviso that the RFP would not be loan or circulated until we were able to confer with Foundation Council. Dan did respond a few days later. All he did was strike one sentence concerning reimbursement of the LES weekly payment by Pacifica. And with the simply striking that one sentence, Foundation Council felt that the RFP was perfectly fine as far as avoiding the employee status of the LESs.
Right.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. I don't understand. Does that mean that the RFP statement requires the LES to be an employee of the firm that manages the elections? And that the sum that we pay to that firm will include, although not specifically, a compensation to take care of that person's salary.
Exactly, precisely.
Okay.
Well, if I may, I think it's slightly different. I'm going to pull up the language here so I can read from it, but I don't think it requires that the LESs be employees necessarily. That's really the business of a contractor. If they want to make them their own employees,
right.
That's fine.
Yes,
but if they want to make them independent contractors, that's fine as well. It's really
right.
Not, would no longer be Pacifica's business.
We're just not the employer of record.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and so now that the RFP has been clarified to really avoid putting Pacifica in the role of employer, in the process of this back and forth, I spoke to Dan Siegel about the earlier idea that he had suggested that perhaps a bylaws amendment would be needed to change the language about every election year the ED shall appoint a person to serve as a national election supervisor. So he had initially talked about changing it to say shall appoint or engage a firm to act as, but he now, upon reading the RFP with the revision that he suggested, he thinks that as long as we stick with that RFP and we're very careful in the language of the ultimate contract that we sign under the RFP, we don't need to modify the bylaws. So that, his opinion is that that's no longer an issue.
Steve
so,
Brown?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know if it was an issue. If the bylaws require that the ED appoint or name an LES, nothing would stop the ED from doing that, upon which the managing firm would engage that person.
Right, but it's just that up until our committee passed this motion, it wasn't clear that there would be any kind of firm as opposed to the traditional relationship, which is a direct hire. So
right.
He's just saying now that that's been clarified, it looks like a bylaws amendment is not needed. So I just wanted to pass that along and see if there's any opinions about that, or if we agree that we can just move forward with the RFP process and not amend the bylaws.
Yosh for Stack?
Yes, Yosh.
And Carolyn?
Okay.
I still feel that there should be a bylaws amendment. I don't have the language, the bylaw in front of me, but if it calls for the ED to hire or appoint an NES, I think it should be amended to reflect the fact that the executive director will select with, you know, the assistance of the elections committee, a vendor pursuant to an RFP or some such language?
Carolyn?
Yeah, I'm a little uneasy about this, partly because I haven't seen the results or the rulings in either the California or the New York case. And
Carolyn, you're cutting out.
I'm sorry. I know we got into trouble on this. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
I know we got into trouble on this last year because we had an NES who was then overseen by Foundation Council, and it got very complicated because other people were hired. I would really like to see the language of this, and frankly, I'd like to have someone else look at it who was not involved in this. I just don't feel comfortable about this. I just feel we may be digging ourselves into a deeper hole without getting some outside advice on this.
Steve Brown, can I get on the stack?
Yeah, before you do, Steve, is there anyone else who wants to speak on this?
I guess I'm sorry.
No, you can speak too, but I'm trying to get people who haven't spoken yet. Okay, Steve, and then Yosh.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the language that you that you spoke about the requirement of the ED. It said the ED is required to appoint or hire a person.
Appoint a national election supervisor. And
okay,
in
well,
one
then,
second, I'll pull it up on screen and read it to you.
My feeling is that the ED can simply name the managing firm as the election supervisor. If it doesn't say person, then the ED can name that firm. If it does say person, if that firm is a corporation, well, that's a person. And I don't think the bylaws need to be changed in that sense.
Okay, I got it here. All right, let's see. Sorry.
I'm a little talmudic in its reasoning, but I think it would work.
Okay. I'm reading from Article 4, Section 4, National Election Supervisor. In May of each year, now let me point out that was amended last year to be March, okay? In May of each year in which there will be an election of delegates by the members, the executive director shall appoint a National Election Supervisor whose role shall be to oversee and certify the fairness of the delegates' election in each station area and to confirm said elections compliance with these bylaws. The National Election Supervisor shall also oversee the nomination process, the preparation of the ballots, and the counting of the ballots, and shall prepare a written statement reporting the results of every election for distribution to the members or posting on the Foundation's and radio station's websites. To be eligible for appointment to the position of National Election Supervisor, said person shall not be an employee of the Foundation or any Foundation radio station or delegate or a delegate officer or director of the Foundation or any LSB or a radio station staff member, paid or unpaid. The National Election Supervisor should be experienced with election procedures and supervision and preferably recommended by an organization experienced in election procedures and supervision. The National Election Supervisor does not have to be a member of the Foundation upon the completion of and certification of the results for all of the elections, the National Election Supervisor's term shall end. And then there's similar language about the local.
So I don't see a problem why the managing firm cannot, in effect, be the entity appointed by the ED to serve as election supervisor.
Right, precisely. That's what counsel, how he interpreted it as well. Yosh was next.
Well, no. As long as we're reading person to include corporations, I guess I can live with it. I think the bylaw section can be polished, but then there are many more sections of the bylaws which require our attention rather than, you know, just focusing on this one minor aspect. So I'll pass. I'll withdraw my objection.
Okay. Yes, Bonnie, go ahead.
Just briefly, that I agree with Steve and whomever else seem to think that this new change suffices. I agree.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. By the way, I'd like to appoint a timekeeper, if I may. Would someone please volunteer for that?
Sure.
Is that you, Bonnie?
Yep.
Thank you very much. Okay. So,
Oh, you know...
Yes.
This kind of could be hair-splitting, or perhaps not, on that issue. Yeah, we know about the famous Supreme Court decision that a corporation is a person, but if our proposed contractor is some other legal entity, like a partnership or something, then are we stretching the term, or is this too much quibbling about verbiage?
Well, if I can speak, Bob.
Ladder.
Yeah. Yosh, please do. You're the one with the. You're one
right,
of the members with a legal education.
Sure. Yes, that would be a stretch to call a partnership a person, but you know, it's all within the spirit of that Article 4, Section 4, and you know, it's at some point, maybe a year or two down the line, someone will undertake an amendment of Article 4, Section 4, so that it doesn't point to a person. You can start saying person, a company, a partnership, or a corporation. You know, that might be preferable language, but I don't think it's really worth quibbling about. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So if we can go on to the next item. So, Bonnie, this is 15 minutes on the RFP. Well, actually, it's not so much the working group, but just sort of the general progress on making this RFP happen.
Okay.
So, Yosh, you want to update us on what happened since our last committee meeting?
Certainly.
How we proposed to the board that they adopt this?
Certainly. This committee reviewed the RFP, made some changes, suggested some changes. Those changes were adopted and incorporated, and then this committee forwarded a motion to the PNB recommending that the PNB adopt the RFP at the last meeting, I believe. Well, no, I'm sorry, I missed the last meeting. Two meetings ago, the RFP was taken up. Both Foundation Council and the CFO expressed concerns about certain language in there regarding the NES and the LES. In the meantime, before that meeting, Bob and I had conferred. Bob came up with some pretty good language, and after we tweaked it a little bit, that was sent on as, well, we had requested input from other committee members, and that was pretty slow in coming, so we went ahead, took the initiative, and just added that amendment to item number one of the RFP. Then that proposed amendment was discussed, and the Foundation Council did not like the language, neither did the CFO. And so the PNB provisionally accepted the RFP, but on the proviso that before it was publicized, that we get input from Foundation Council. Dan Siegel then, several days later, said, you know, he's reviewed the entire document, and after reviewing the entire document, it was his legal conclusion that everything looked good if we were just strike the one sentence regarding reimbursement of the LES. And that was done, and therefore I undertook to send out that twice amended RFP to four vendors, and just today I located a fifth vendor, so I sent the RFP out to that vendor as well. And now that I know that Steve Brown has provided us with some websites where we could post this as well, I will be doing that probably within the next 24 to 48 hours. I will say also, I think it's Otis who has undertaken to post the RFP on our Pacifica websites as well. So I don't know if Anthony has something to add.
No, I don't think so.
Or questions.
Bonnie, sorry.
Yeah, Bonnie.
If we could just have the cleaned up RFP with that sentence removed so that we have it officially, we could ask that it at least get to the individual station. Shouldn't we have it on the station websites as job posted?
Yes, I believe that's what our motion asked the acting ED to see that it happens. So maybe we could remind her of that.
So that's a motion that is that one of the ones that hasn't. That's
no
part
no
of
no that RFP, did pass.
That's part of the RFP motion.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
So we just need to send them the cleaned up language now.
They should have the cleaned up language. The cleaned up language is posted, or should, well, let me take that back. I'm not sure that it's posted.
We just decided it in the last couple days, so.
Right. I should resend that, the cleaned up language to Otis. But as far as the five vendors, the five vendors do have a revised RFP. And that revision was just a couple days ago.
Yeah, I just thought maybe we should get it to the stations for their individual website.
Okay, well, does anyone know whether is Otis in contact with all the webmasters at the five stations? Or what's the best way to? Should we just go through Sherry?
Maybe I misunderstand, but I didn't think that what Otis was doing was actually working with the five stations. I thought he was just working with the Pacifica.org.
Yeah, no, he is. That's why I'm asking a separate question, since we have this other task to accomplish of getting the five. I'm just wondering, is there one person who keeps in touch, or is that just something that goes from the ED to the five GMs and they take care of it? Does anyone know what's the best way to get that done?
That'd be my guess.
Okay, so would one of you on the PNB... Well, actually, Yosh, you've been handling this. If you wouldn't mind contacting Sherry to just ask her to make sure that the five GMs get this to put on there, to make sure it gets put on the website to their station, the final version.
Okay.
And I thought, Yosh, did you post it to the list of this committee, the final? I don't recall seeing it. I think I've seen just the copies you've sent to the vendors. So if you could do that, that would be helpful.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
I was just wondering if there's any, we have any idea how long it'll take to sense whether there's interest from the vendors, or do we have to wait till the deadline? Anybody heard anything about it? How interested they might be?
Bob, can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I did send out the original RFP prior to the amendment that went out, gosh, I don't remember when, maybe 2 weeks, well, I know it was before Christmas, just shortly before Christmas, and then True Ballot, specifically Kenny Mostern, responded, he shot back an email to me with certain questions, and there was, you know, he was confused as to whether our RFP named an NES separate from the vendor, and so that had to be clarified. All of that language was clarified in the amendment, and so the only contact that we've had, that I've had, is with True Ballot, and they have not yet actually sent in a bid. They just had some questions about the RFP. So that's where we are right now.
Okay. I hope we get at least too, and that's why I was, you know, if we need to do anything before the deadline to drum up more interest. But posting on the websites is a good idea. I'm just not sure that'll be enough.
Well, this ties into the implementation of next steps. I was thinking perhaps if someone who's worked on the RFP working group could take it upon themselves to research whether there's some organizations out there, like I know one that kind of helped advise Pacifica on adopting this single transferable voting. I'm forgetting the name. They're based in Washington. They're a nonprofit. Does anyone remember it offhand? Something about democratic elections. Well, in any case, there are nonprofit groups like that that might run the kind of listservs that would reach some of the people that we most would like to reach to solicit bids. So if Anthony, you're the convener of that working group. Could you try to arrange to get anyone on this call could suggest places like that, but at least that place in Washington and any other like-minded organizations. Maybe on their website they might have links to other similar groups, and just collect two or three of them at least and shoot them off an email saying, you know, do you have some sort of listserv or other mode of communication that you would, if you wouldn't mind forwarding our announcement?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering what the actionable thing was.
The action is just to circulate our announcement.
Okay.
All right.
Voting
organizations that work on election management or election reform issues.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and by the way, just for the record, let me read the language that was stricken so everyone's clear on, you know, because it was stricken because it appeared to bind Pacifica right back into the situation that we were in this past year as far as people, the NES and LES being, or specifically the LES is being considered employees. And that language is, Pacifica will reimburse you, the bidder, the contractor, for reasonable hourly wages paid to the five LESs. So that is now gone. That's been stricken. So just so everyone's clear. Okay. Right, that was Dan Siegel's strong urging that be removed, and it has been. Okay, so then now we just need to figure out how we're going to process the bids, the offers when they come in. So my suggestion, which we can now talk about, is that the working group have the first crack at it. So in other words, the RFP directs the applicants to send their materials to me as the committee chair, and Sherry as the IED. So what I can do is, as soon as I get each one, I will forward them. Actually, I can forward them to the entire committee listserv. But then my suggestion would be that the RFP working group convene, whatever number of meetings it needs. Hopefully, it could just be done in one meeting shortly after the deadline, which is January 31st, and then go into detail with how they analyze the strengths and weaknesses of each proposal, and then come up with a recommendation back to the committee as to which one should be selected, and then we will do the same process over again, and then pass it on to the PNB, which will do the same. Well, hopefully they won't have to do a process. They will see some wisdom in whatever action we take, although of course they can change the decision. So that's my proposal for the process. Are there comments?
Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be glad to help. I don't think I wasn't on the RFP committee, but if you need more help reviewing them, I'd be glad to. I've reviewed proposals before for government contracts and things like that.
That would be great. Well, yeah, of course, any committee member is welcome to be part of this. Can those who were on the working group before please identify themselves now, besides
I was on.
Yeah. Okay, so Bonnie.
And me.
And Anthony, who else?
Yosh.
Yosh, right. Anyone else? Okay, and wasn't there a technical advisor? Was that Art?
Yes, that was Art Stasny.
Okay, so he could be invited to, you know, to that meeting to review them. All right, so now Bill's offering to be part of it. I'll be part of it. Is there anyone else who would like to join? Okay, so then why don't we make it that, Anthony, you'll poll. Did you take note of who's now going to be on the group?
Repeat it, please.
Okay, so it's myself, Yosh, Bonnie,
Art Stasny, Anthony, Bill.
Right,
Bill, Bonnie, Bill. Anthony, Art, Bob, and Yosh.
Right. So if you could circulate to all of us some suggested dates offline, and then, you know, pick a date for very soon after February 1st. And in the meantime, those people who just now volunteered, please, as soon as I post each proposal, and let's hope there are multiple, to the listserv, please really take time to study it and then compare them so that you're ready at that meeting to really get down to brass tacks about, you know, analyzing the strengths and weaknesses of each proposal. Okay, is there anything else we should add to the process? Okay, I don't think we need a motion on this. Can we just do this by general agreement that will be the process? Is there any objection?
Me.
Okay. All right, then I guess we are ready to move on to the next item, which has been postponed several times, so I hope we can really get into the meat of this. It's the working group on cutting election costs, and I've posted several times the list of ideas that Bill and I came up with, but these are not mainly original to us. They're mainly pooling ideas that different committee members have suggested at different times. So if people could look, it was part of the agenda. It was part of the same email in which I included the agenda for tonight. So if people have that handy, if you could pull that up on screen, and I will read it out loud for those who are not at their computers. Okay, so since it is a long list, why don't we take them by category and then, you know, discuss each category before we go on to the next category, all right? So this is meant to be a motion that we would pass to the PNB that would then be given to the successful bidder, whatever firm is selected ultimately would get this list as a directive, as a set of directives as to how to cut costs, okay? So the first category is seek out low bidders and possible free or low-cost services. The sub-items there are approach nonprofit organizations, e.g. the League of Women Voters, to see whether they'll conduct part of the election process for free or for compensation below what a commercial enterprise would charge. Next one, now you can see some of this is outdated. The next one says put all other services out to competitive bidding. Next one is see if unbundling services, that is separating document layout from printing, yields a lower overall cost and see whether community members with the appropriate skill sets, such as, for example, layout, are interested in doing this for free or at below market rates. So let's start with this approaching nonprofit organizations. I thought we had done some of that, but is there still any untapped potential here in the next 3 weeks before the bids come in? Is there anywhere we could explore with nonprofits that might do this for free or for a very low cost, but do a portion of this? Obviously, none of them are going to do this mammoth job for free, but there might be some small subpart that we would just take away from the bidder and therefore drive down the cost from the bidder. Any suggestions on that?
Well, Bonnie.
Go ahead.
You know, there was the, I can't remember their name, the
California Reconciliation and something.
They do
service.
A free service for labor unions, but Two things happened. One, the fellow that we had been in touch with retired. It doesn't mean that he would completely not be willing to be involved. However, he took off on a long vacation after retiring. And frankly, I haven't caught up with him since. What I understood at the time was that their organization would be interested in talking to us about doing the vote counting. So whether that would be from the time they pick up the ballots, from the time the ballots are printed, I don't know. But it didn't seem to make much sense in speculating about it that an organization like that might be able to take on the entire process. You know, they would probably not be available to certify nominees, to go through arguments over who is and who isn't valid to vote. It would be more the actual, you know, STV voting stuff. And then we went to the RFP, and I'm not sure that an organization like that could be worked into. I guess it will depend on who we decide on for the RFP, whether there's any sense in thinking about having an organization not part of themselves be responsible for any part of the process. Am I making sense here?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I'm proposing something slightly different. I'm actually proposing that we approach organizations like this California agency and see what they might conceivably be willing to do for little or nothing, and if it's, you know, anything, even if it's a little tiny piece of the whole, that we just simply present, and we decide that they're a suitable organization, they're responsible, they have a good track record, that then we would present the bidders with a fait accompli and say, well, we've decided that you're only going to do, you know, 80% or 90% of the originally requested tasks because we have another contractor or another agency that's going to do this 10% piece. And in that way, it, you know, every little bit of cost cutting, I think we should actively pursue. That's my personal suggestion. Other comments?
Yosh.
Go ahead.
Yes, I think cost cutting is very commendable, but I would caution Pacifica that, you know, when you break up an RFP like this and you've got you know, different cooks in the kitchen, and then you might get to a finger pointing situation, or a problem with interfacing. So, someone collects the ballots, and then they transfer the ballots over to California Mediation or League of Women Voters or whomever, and then League of Women Voters, you know, presumably does a tallying or something, and then sends it back to the NES or the vendor saying, this is how we tallied it. I'm just a little bit concerned.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Besides finger-pointing, you know, if you have... it's possible it might work out, but it's also easy to... If you split it up for one, the main contractor to do it in such a way that minimizes their cost, but makes the work harder for the other organization, and vice versa.
Hold on, Bill. Somebody has a lot of background noise. Can they please mute their phone? All right, go ahead, Bill. Yeah,
and
Carolyn,
besides
you're next.
Cost, I don't want them to have an excuse for delaying things, not meeting a schedule if they're waiting on this other organization to do something.
Okay.
But I'm open to looking around. I'm just not real optimistic it would help.
Okay. Carolyn?
Yeah, I think that is looking for trouble to some extent, although the thought behind it is commendable. When we looked at Election Services Corporation 2 years ago, I know Les Radke said the one thing we did want was to utilize volunteer help as much as possible, partly because it was our philosophy and partly because it might save some money. And ESC said they did not want to be involved with volunteers. they had a staff, they had a method, and they really didn't want to do that. So I think we might get some resistance from corporations who have their own way of doing things and don't want to share.
Any other comments on this? Well, let me ask this question. I hear all the points people are making, and they're points well taken. Would anyone object if, I assume, Bonnie, you're willing to try one last time to pursue this California mediation service?
I can try one more time.
Just to see what they would say, and then we can evaluate that if they have anything positive to say. I mean, it may be moot.
I have a point of information
If I could respond for a moment,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, Bonnie, and then Carolyn.
No, I don't mind doing that, but I actually think that we're making it a little circuitous to have put RFPs out to people, be thinking that once they come back, maybe what we need to do is actually see what some of these bids are that we get back. Because, look, in the back of my mind here is that right now we all know the foundation is facing considerable financial strain. And, you know, I'm kind of squinting, thinking about this election coming up and the fact that we need to be able to pay for it. So my thoughts are a little split here. You know, I agree that we would be wise to be looking to see any ways that we'll be able to cut some costs, because I think we're going to have to do it. By the other token, I often believe you get what you pay for. So I'm kind of hesitant to kind of muck about with it, and I guess I'd have a better feeling about it. Not that I won't contact them and see if I can find them, but I'd have a better feeling about it if we wait until we get some RFP back and see what it is we're talking about.
You see it, that.
Okay, Fia and then Carolyn.
I want to join the reservations about splitting the and segmenting the process. If my memory serves me correctly, a big part of the cost of the election has to do with the litigation that the process from not having clean lists to not trusting the folk who actually engage in the process, or they're not those people not following through. So it seems to me that there may be cost-cutting measures other places than to or the structure and process once the procedure began.
Okay, Carolyn.
Sorry. Well, I'm thinking that one of the things that we haven't really factored into this is the question of STV. Who is going to train these companies on STV? If they don't already know it, we didn't make that a requirement. Is that a requirement?
It's a requirement.
Is it a requirement that they know it or that they use it?
Well,
go ahead, Bonnie.
Maybe you want to elaborate. It seems to me there's quite a lot of information in the RFP about that.
Okay, all right.
Suggesting different subsets of the software and the different steps that will have to be taken. Am I incorrect here?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If they don't know STV, they're in deep trouble, because that's extremely clear and detailed that they have to know it, use it properly, and, you know, fully administer an election based on it. So, you know, that's their responsibility. Yeah, Bill, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I know from reviewing proposals, of course, they need to be responsive. They need to say, yes, I'll do everything that's in the RFP, or if there's a problem, they need to identify that. And then they also need to convince us that they know how to do it. So if they can't describe how to make us comfortable and confident that they can do it, then we need to ask them to supply more information. That'll be part of the review process of the proposals.
Yosh?
Yeah, Yosh.
Yes, Art Stasny had recommended that whoever we select to be the vendor be tested, and we would give them a sample election. And we already know the results of those sample elections. We would give them the ballots. They would report back to us what their conclusions were following the STB tallying, and then we would know whether they could handle the STV. And that is Art's recommendation, and I think we should follow up on that. That's probably a step that, I'm sorry, I guess it should be a step in the vetting process, and that might have to happen prior to either the elections committee. Well, it would have to happen prior to elections committee actually recommending a particular vendor. We would have to test that vendor and make sure they can handle STV.
Well, if I can just jump in for a minute, I think that's a great idea, and I'd like to know if there's anyone who would object to following that procedure, that every bidder gets sent this test, this standardized test that's identical for all bidders, and that becomes one of the criteria or one of the pieces upon which the evaluation is based. Okay, well, hearing no objection, again, on an informal basis, let's just take this as an instruction to the working group, and that actually doesn't have to wait till every application is in. That could be sent out on, do you know, Yosh, if that's already kind of ready to go as a...
I'm pretty sure that Art Stasny has a copy ready to go out this evening or tomorrow.
Excellent. So if I could suggest then that if you could coordinate that, Yosh, and make sure that as each offer comes in, that you write, if you're willing to do this, a letter of acknowledgement, thank you for, we received your proposal. We'll be reviewing it. In the meantime, we'd like you to complete the following exercise. By, I don't know.
We should give
them a time frame.
Within 5 days or 7 days, it shouldn't take them 2 weeks or two months. Well, 2 months is clearly outrageous, but...
What do people feel okay about it, giving a seven-day turnaround for the exercise? Any objection to that?
No.
Okay. All right. So then so if you can write up a standardized letter with that language, that would be... And then send that to each one as they come in, and that'll hopefully speed up the process a bit. So by the time the committee meets, they'll have the response to that exercise. All right? Okay. Now, I'm sorry, who was next on the stack? All right. Well, if there's
no one else, this is Anthony.
Go ahead.
I forgot if this is in the RFP or not, but we should also ask them what kind of software they use.
Is that in there already?
I think it's in the RFP.
Okay, good.
But they have to signify that.
Okay.
All right. So let's circle back to my original. Actually, it was Bill's and my original suggestion about nonprofit organizations. Are we just dropping that altogether, or should we ask Bonnie to make one last contact with the California people? I mean, it seems like they might I'm sure they're not in a position to take on the whole election, so maybe they could suggest someone else that we didn't think of who might be worth sending the RFP to. It seems like it can't hurt for her to at least try to make the contact and see what comes of it. Is that all right with people?
Anthony again?
Yeah.
I recommend that, and I recommend that we look to anyone else who might be interested as well, and bearing in mind the very appropriate cautions that Yosh and others mentioned, I've said this before, but tasks that are clearly separate and distinct, so there's no risk of fumble in the handoff. Say, for example, you know, as I said before, the dispute resolution and enforcing the rules versus the mailing and counting of ballots. I think those are sufficiently separate that there's no hazard of the problems we that have been mentioned earlier tonight.